This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This 2021 season is full of high rollers with deep pockets who will let it ride. Football 21, a game of blackjack.
Here's the kick. It's got the distance. It's got the distance, and it is good!
Will the future Hall of Famers still be aces?
Rodgers in the shotgun, takes the snap, lofts it over the right side. Devontae, over the shoulder, catch, got it!
Can fresh-faced upstarts beat the house?
They're in victory formation, and Baker
Which of the college football contenders will be dealt a stiff hand?
It'll start with a throw. Rattler deep drop.
Takes a shot for Mims behind the defense. Got him! Touchdown! Painter! Marvelous!
For the 21 season, we're doubling down.
This is starting to become very, very real.
It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. Coming your way this hour here on the show, Mitch Moss, our Vegas virtuoso, is going to join us in about 20 minutes from now. We'll look at today's lines around the NFL for your entertainment purposes. Later on in the hour, we'll talk about Notre Dame losing Brian Kelly, but seemingly earning the trust of its coaching staff that's still there. We'll also talk about Taysom Hill trying to save the Saints season down the stretch. And we'll also discuss the Brian Kelly to LSU addition and what that means for the SEC as the coaching carousel churns. Yesterday, championship weekend in college football. We're breaking it all down. You can listen to us on hundreds of affiliates, both nationwide and north of the border on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. You can also check us out by listening to us using SiriusXM, Channel 158, and the apps, the CBS Sports app, as well as the Odyssey app. Both are free and both great ways to listen to Sunday Morning Football. Plus, your smart speaker can also have you listen and enjoy Sunday Morning Football by having it on around the house as you get ready for your Sunday. Well, yesterday, there were college football playoff spots on the line. One, which was up in the air, was the Big 12. An Oklahoma State win would open up the door for a spot in the Final Four, but Baylor had other ideas. We begin this hour by coming in hot.
2-1, you've got a pair of bogeys, 12 o'clock.
30 plus years of service. Only man to shoot down 3 enemy planes in the last 40 years.
Attention, air control. Someone tell DA he's coming in hot.
Uh-huh. The end is inevitable, Maverick. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir, but not today.
They say a leopard can't change its spots. However, the Big 12 did that this year. A league known for offense and acrobatics and scoreboard fireworks instead was defined this season in 2021 by defense. The two best defenses in the league, Baylor and Oklahoma State. And the Bears and the Pokes were there for the Big 12 championship game yesterday. And when it came down to it, it was a game played at 21-16. And a goal line stand saved it for Baylor. Here's how it sounded.
Nobody has to snap it again. Final seconds are going to click off here at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. Wow, what a finish. What a finish of this Dr. Pepper Big 12 Championship game today. Light the tower green. The Baylor Bears are 2021 Big 12 Conference Champions.
It has been a real treasure for me to just to see the growth of our team and off the field and how that relates to on the field so that we can win those hard to win games. And you know, I think today was an example of it.
It no doubt was. That was John Morris's call on Learfield as the Bears are the Big 12 champs coming off a terrible season last year. What can you say about Dave Aranda? What an unbelievable hire that was as Aranda was pried away from LSU, heads over to Waco. The Bears this year 11-2 in a Big 12 championship. And look at their Big 12 numbers and stats and final scores. Against Kansas, they gave up 7 points. They beat Iowa State 31-29. They held West Virginia to 20 points. They held Texas to 24 points. They held OU to 14 points. They held K-State to 10. They held Texas Tech to 24, and Oklahoma State last night in the Big 12 championship game to 16. That's not your normal Big 12 stats. But that's why Aranda has done such a great job there. That's why the Baylor Bears defined their season by playing balanced, solid D and offense, and they complemented one another really, really well. Great story to Waco. Really cool guy in Dave Aranda turning things around. Give the Bears credit yesterday because the story was about Oklahoma State. They stood there. They heard the headlines. They heard the noise and said, it's our time, actually. And a first and goal from the 2, a second and goal from the 1, a third and goal from the 1, and a fourth and goal from the 1 for Baylor's defense to come up with those 4 stops with the game on the line. If Oklahoma State scores a touchdown, they're winning the Big 12, and they've got a chance at the college football playoff. But instead, it was the Bears who stiffen their backs, gets the stop, and win the championship. What a cool day for the Bears, Aranda, and their fans in the Big 12 title game. And how interesting also, karmically, that in a season where Oklahoma and Texas worked secretly to get out of the conference and turn their backs on the Big 12 after the league had consistently bent over backwards for them, that neither one of those schools ended up in the Big 12 championship game, but instead sitting at home and watching. Some poetic justice for the Big 12. So with Oklahoma State's loss, it meant that a Cincinnati win almost guaranteed a spot in the college football playoff, and the Bearcats did exactly that. Here's the great Dan Horde on Learfield.
The Bearcats up by 15 points. Toon reaches up to make a one-handed catch. Hands it off to Marcus Jones. He is tackled at the 34.
That's it.
And it is over. 0 losses. 0 doubt. The UC Bearcats are unbeaten. Unbelievable. And undoubtedly deserving of their spot in the 4-team college football playoff.
The resounding statement is what you just saw on the football field. What that team did in the third quarter, what these guys did in the third quarter, is who we are. And if that's not good enough, then hey, we're gonna take our ball and go someplace else, I guess. But I don't think these guys can be denied. Just the way they've answered the bell and everything that they've done all year, it would be a shame for them to be denied.
So let's start with the Bearcats. That, of course, was Luke Fickell after a 13-0 championship season in the American, undefeated, unblemished, heading into the college football playoff selection today, which is, I'm sure, going on as we speak. Here's the bit. The Bearcats, early in the season, after beating Notre Dame, were toying with inferior competition. They had beaten Notre Dame, and they had done it impressively, and they had beaten Indiana and done it impressively, but it turned out the Hoosiers were paper tigers. Last year, a really good season. This year, they were terrible. So that win didn't help them. They then messed around with the Navy, 1-7, messed around with Tulane. They actually only led by two at halftime. Messed around with Tulsa. Remember, needed multiple goal line stands to survive, and they won by eight. And you're thinking, boy, the Bearcats actually may have had one really good day against Notre Dame, but might not be that great of a team. And then they turned on the Jets. They blew out a good SMU team 48-14. They blew out a good East Carolina team 35-13. And then last night put up three touchdowns in the third quarter and blew out a very good Houston team 35-20. That was the body of work I think the committee needed to see. That's the body of work that I think cannot deny the Bearcats a spot in the Final Four. And so credit Cincinnati, because they got it done. They went undefeated. Nobody else did. And they are going, you would hope, to the college football playoff. I will say this, though. It feels like it's an either-or, that either you credit Cincinnati or you discount them. And I don't want to do that. But this is an and proposition. I want to credit the Bearcats and say that they got lucky. There were things beyond their control that helped them mightily. Three of the Power Five conferences cannibalized themselves out of the playoff. Okay? The ACC did. Then the Big 12 did yesterday. And the Pac-12 did on Friday night. And so seeing as though Oregon couldn't take advantage of it, now we kind of knew that dating back a couple of weeks ago when Utah beat them the first time, but the Pac-12 eating itself, the ACC eating itself, and then yesterday the Big 12 eating itself, cleared the deck. That's three of the Power Five. So on top of that, you had the Notre Dame conundrum, and thankfully, this year of all years, if Notre Dame's going to be good and have an argument, it was Cincy that had the win over them. So it was going to be impossible, really, to put Notre Dame in over Cincinnati, considering they beat them head-to-head. Plus, you had Brian Kelly leave Notre Dame, and the committee admitted, Greg Barta admitted, that they can use that against the Irish. So all of these things, it had to be timing, it had to be the cosmos lining up, and Cincinnati had to take advantage. You know, a group of five team has finally done it. And it meant having a good season last year so that you enter the rankings high, which they did. It means running the table. You had to be perfect. It meant getting a couple of good wins late, which they did, SMU in Houston, and doing it impressively. And it also means that other power conferences have to exit themselves. And all of that happened. So much of that is the Bearcats. Some of that is not the Bearcats. But either way, this might be the only time in our lifetimes, as long as there's a four-team college football playoff, where a group of five team is in and in solidly, confidently, without much debate, because everything else also went right. I don't know how often we'll ever see, however long this Final Four lasts until they expand, how long we'll ever see three power conferences not even be part of the discussion, meaning that Cincinnati could even survive Alabama beating Georgia last night so that two SEC teams got in. Think about this Final Four. There's only going to be two power conferences represented, the SEC and the Big Ten, and then Cincinnati. It's amazing. Now, I love it because it means fresh blood. I think college football needs it with Michigan and Cincinnati as teams and programs that haven't been there before. I think you need and want more fan bases, more schools, more players, more teams to feel like, hey, we got a legitimate shot at this. So I think that's really great. But the reality is, boy, things really had to break for the Bearcats, and they couldn't have broke any more perfectly. Finally, in the AFC East, an absolutely monumental game tomorrow night. As the Buffalo Bills came into the season as the power brokers of the division, and yet here we are, early December, and the Patriots actually have a half-game lead at 8-4, The Bills are 7-4, but tomorrow night this game is in Orchard Park. It's going to be in Buffalo, and the Bills have to win this game to keep their edge in the division.
The snap. Josh fakes a handoff, sets up the throw, got a man wide open, caught at the 14-yard line. Dawson Knox inside the five, headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo! On 4th-and-2, they throw a strike, a touchdown pass, Josh Allen to Dawson Knox.
They're in first place. You know, they've won this division, what, 17 or out of 19 the last years before last season. So they've had a stranglehold in this division for a long time. They're a good football team, and they're doing it the right way. They're playing complimentary football. They're got one of the best coaches, not the best coach to ever coach the game. Got a great young quarterback, playing really well on defense, special teams as well. So they're where they're at for a reason.
Your play-by-play call courtesy of John Murphy on Bills Radio. That was Sean McDermott going into this game. Look, this is vital for the Buffalo Bills because, number one, the Bills want to have a home game in Buffalo where obviously the crowd is crazy. You have unpredictable weather in January. You want, at the very least, a home game to start off your NFL postseason. But also, it would be such a kick in the gut for the Bills to have a one-year reign on the division and go back to the Patriots beating them and beating them in their house. So this is a vital game for the Bills because Buffalo has this really good core, but the winning window is now. And for the Patriots, with a young quarterback, their winning window probably is in the future still. So you got two more games against the Patriots for the rest of the season. That's going to decide the division. You can't lose the home game. At the very worst, you split, but that means at the very worst, you win tomorrow night and lose in Foxborough. But for the Bills, they have allowed the Patriots a door to be open because the Bills have lost some bad games. The loss of the Jaguars, terrible. Getting housed by the Colts a couple of weeks ago was embarrassing. They were back to their winning ways on Thanksgiving. You also have a long week because you played on Thanksgiving night. And so you've got a 10-day run-up until a Monday night. So you played the previous Thursday, you played on Monday night. There is so much time for the Bills to be right. They've got to get this game tomorrow night to be able to say they still are the team to go through in the AFC East. That's certainly the game of the weekend, in my mind, in the NFL. Tomorrow night, Monday Night Football. All right, when we come back here on the show, we'll go out to Vegas. Our Vegas virtuoso, Mitch Moss, is going to help us look at today's NFL action from a Sharps perspective. We'll give you some locks coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Winners, whiners, wise guys. Every week we scour the NFL odds to see where you should plunk down your scratch.
Place your bets.
Sunday Morning Football, making wagering fun again.
You win.
So glad you're with us here on Sunday Morning Football. DA, Damon Amendolara with you. Time to welcome on our next guest. He has joined us regularly throughout the season. We love having him here on the show. He is the host of Follow the Money weekday mornings on VSiN and VSiN Live. Joining us this morning is Mitch Moss. Mitch, good morning.
DA, good morning to you as well. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Let's look at yesterday's SEC championship game, okay? Because going into this game, Georgia was a 6.5-point favorite. Now, historically speaking, Nick Saban's only been an underdog six times since 2008. And in the previous five games, he won four of them outright. And last night, it happened again. The Wizard of Tuscaloosa was an underdog and won outright. Does this teach us a very important lesson? If you ever see Bama as a rare underdog, take him on the money line?
Yes. Yes. You know, it's only that rare occasion, DA, that we get reminded of this, right? It's not like every single year with Saban, which is incredible and tells you how great of a job he's done there. But it pops up like Halley's Comet. Hey, when they're a dog, especially catching like 6 or 6.5, ding, 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 a light bulb needs to go off, and we need to all, like, bet it. And isn't it funny because, like, the whole talk going into the game and all year long has been Georgia's defense, how it's been one of the best of a generation or maybe one of the best of all time against an Alabama team that was in a down year, and they took them apart, and they spanked them, and it totally got away from Georgia. That was incredible. Yeah, he's the man. He's the best coach I've ever seen in college football.
The eighth time Saban has beat a number one team in the country. The eighth time he's beat the number one ranked team in the country. And Georgia's defense, historically great. And Bryce Young probably won the Heisman because of his game against Georgia last night.
Yeah.
Okay, onto the NFL. Is there a number that first pops off from the page that you really like today?
Okay, well, I think the message today, DA, needs to be, you know, to go over the, to remind people again on this about how important it is, like, pay attention to the NFL throughout the entire week and, like, don't force bets and don't take bad numbers. I was going to come on today and tell you that, you know, I really liked Denver tonight in the Sunday night spot, but here's the deal. Like, you had a chance to grab the Broncos plus 10 earlier in the week. Like, there was ample opportunity out there to grab the Broncos at that number. And now that we're sitting across the board with the Chiefs, you know, ranging between 8, 8.5, maybe a 9 still out there, like, that's when I had a chance a couple of days ago to grab that key number of 10, even though I like the Broncos, I can't, it's not a good idea to go out there and bet and grab a bad number like that today. And there are plenty of other games like that. The Colts game, they opened up 7 on the road against Houston. Well, if you like the Colts, it's way too late to lay the 10 with the Colts today in this game against the Texans, because then you're going through 7, you're going through 10, and the timing could not be any worse for you in that spot. I guess to me, a number that jumps out would be, you know, again, something that probably moved. I like Washington earlier in the week, but they were 3 for like a minute. Now they're down to 1.5. I think they can win this game, but you're missing the best number there. And at what point does this number get carried away with the Dolphins? Because they open up 2.5. Yes, I understand there's no Daniel Jones today, but the Dolphins now are up to 6.5-point favorites against the Giants. That might be a bit much now.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. I mean, that number was really interesting early in the week, but now it's almost at a touchdown, and so we'll see where it closes at kickoff time. With the Eagles, Jalen Hurts looks to be out, which means Gardner Minshew looks to be in. They are at MetLife Stadium coming up in 1.5 hours from now. It looks like it's Philly at the moment by 5.5. How does the removal of Jalen Hurts from the equation affect how you look at this?
Well, so according to the betting market, you take him out, you put him in with Minshew, you replace him with Minshew, and that number has moved basically a point or a point and a half. Now, I think we can all agree that Hurts is a really good running quarterback, but his, I know all of that game and the loss was not on him last week. I mean, he made some nice throws. It should have been caught, and they were dropped. But overall, as a passing quarterback, like, he still he has a lot of work to do. I like Minshew. I think he's serviceable. Is the drop-off there a point and a half? I'm not so sure. And I'll tell you, I kind of like the Jets with Hurts as the quarterback, you know, earlier in the week when you could have grabbed 6.5 or maybe a 7 was even out there. I still think at this number. Now, having said that, I still wouldn't mind taking a peek at the Jets today if you can grab 5. I don't know if this is going to go up to 6 again before kickoff, but I think the Jets here at home with Philadelphia playing back-to-back games now in the same stadium on the road is a rarity. I still think this number might be a tad too high.
Mitch Moss joins us, our Vegas virtuoso, this morning. About an hour ago, Cliff Kingsbury told Stacey Dales of NFL Media that Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins will play today against the Bears. Now, we don't know how limited Kyler Murray will be. He's coming off this injury, which has caused him to miss 3 games. But again, how does Kyler back in the lineup, but we don't know how he looks, affect how you look at Cardinals-Bears at Soldier Field right now? Arizona favored by 7.5.
Yeah, and that number has been pretty, I think, you know, people anticipated maybe Murray was exactly pounding the Cardinals, hoping to get a better number. So I think they're going to be careful with him. I think the message is going to be, you know, don't get too cute today and, you know, run for your life if you have to. Throw the ball away a little bit more. Although it's been quite good with Colt McCoy under center. And the other thing with Hopkins, too, even though he might come back and play in this game, I would assume that that's going to be on a limited snap count. And maybe he goes out there and he plays for, you know, 50, 60% of the time today when they're on offense. Even a little more, I think they're going to be careful of him as well. But I will say this about Arizona. They have been phenomenal on the road this year and going back to last year. And one angle with this team has been on the road to play their unders. It happened in their last game against Seattle. And pretty much I think it's every game. Well, the game against San Francisco 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago went over. But every other game on the road has been low scoring on the season. for the most part. And so that's one angle with this team. And they've been taking teams out. I mean, look at this, 23-13 at Seattle, 31-17 at San Francisco. The Browns game, they went there and mauled them 37-14. The Rams in the – remember week one against the Titans, 38-13? So this team actually gets better on the road, and that might be a trend that you might want to keep your eye on today in Chicago.
I kept an eye this week on Chargers and Bengals. This one is going to be Bengals by three. And last week I got burned by the Chargers. I thought they would have gone to Denver. Herbert was starting to feel himself and go and get a victory. But instead, you know what? The Chargers can't stop the run, and the Broncos ran all over them, jumped out early, and cruised to a victory. So I'm looking at the same trend today, saying, boy, the Bengals, Joe Mixon, can run the football. They're at home. Chargers come east. And we still know L.A. can't stop the run. Is this a chance to grab the Bengals by three?
Yeah, see, I like the Bengals, but I also, you know, paying attention to this stuff and talking to people, I know a lot of people out here in Las Vegas who like the Chargers. And I just, man, the Chargers are, they're an enigma to me. They're a tough nut to crack. I want to really be in love with this team, but I can't because of what you said with the rush defense. And, you know, Herbert has been, like earlier this year, I mean, he was just jumping off the TV like, oh, my God, this guy is already going to be in the conversation for the best quarterback in football. And I still really like him, but I had to dial that back a little bit. The weird thing and the strange thing, D.A., about the Chargers to me is this. They play down to their level of competition. I think they're pretty – I think the Chargers are good enough to compete and beat any team in the league. But I also think that when they play to their level of competition, that means they could pretty much lose to any team in the league. And that's why they scare me. So they could go on the road today and win this game in Cincinnati. But what you said is right. I mean, how does this not shape up as a great game for Joe Mixon, the way that he's humming, the offensive line has been, as long as Burrow takes care of the football? I personally think the Bengals should be in pretty good shape.
Finally, this line in Seattle intrigues me. It's the Niners by three. The Seahawks have collapsed. They look absolutely awful. Russell Wilson can't throw the football. The Niners are actually playing really good football. They finally kind of figured out what their game plan can be, which is run the football, Garoppolo manage it, play good defense. They're a little bit more healthy than they have been earlier in the season. And yet it's only the Niners laying three on the road. One team's playing really well, one team isn't. Is this simply the effect of playing at Seattle still weighs and factors in 3 or 4 points into the line?
Well, let me give you the history here on these two teams, and it has been a house of horrors for the 49ers. Seattle has won three in a row at home against the Niners, four of the last five, including, well, that was earlier this year. San Francisco is 8-16 all-time up in Seattle, and the 49ers are 1-9 in the last 10. And remember that last game of 2019 when it came down to that pass at the goal line where the Seahawks were like inches away from winning that game. They could be 0-10. And they've been outscored in those nine losses by an average of 30-14. I love the weapon that Deebo Samuel has turned into. I love the way that Kyle Shanahan has used him. The thing about this, too, is the Seahawks offense has been completely dead. And if you go back since Russell Wilson came back from injury, the time of possession, the defense for the Seahawks in the last three games has been on the field for 60 minutes longer than the offense. Think about that. They're getting out timed of possession, if you will, basically 40 minutes to 20 every game. So the defense in the last 3 weeks has been on the field for a full football game. That's incredible to me, longer than the offense. And San Francisco is tremendous at going on these 15-play, you know, 82-yard drives that take up 9 minutes on the clock. They do that today. This would be a good game to watch in play, wait, and live to see if the Seahawks can get any stops. So the Niners go on those long drives, and the Seahawks can't do anything on offense, and they have to punt the ball back, and it's like three and out. This Seattle defense is going to get worn down at some point. That needs to be today.
That's an interesting thought and angle on the history between these two teams, certainly factoring into the number today. Niners at Seahawks later on this afternoon. It's the Niners favored by three on the road in Seattle. Mitch Moss is one of our favorites to have here on the show. You can listen to him weekday mornings as part of Follow the Money on VSiN, Sports Betting Network, and you can follow him on Twitter at Mitch Moss Radio. Mitch, awesome stuff, buddy. Thanks so much. Enjoy the game today.
Yep, great to talk to you, DA. Good luck.
You too. Mitch Moss is our guest, our Vegas virtuoso this morning here on the show. When we come back, It's the insiders. We'll look at some of the coaching changes around college football, including Brian Kelly heading to LSU and what it means for who he left behind at Notre Dame. It's coming up here next. DA, Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio and standing by with our headlines. Here's Kevin Dexter.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
CBS Television Sports presents the National Football League.
You're locked in to Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio with your host, D.A. We ask those who are in the game for their thoughts on the game.
Congratulations, man. That's all.
It's time for The Insiders.
I'll knock you out.
Today, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader with early action featuring Justin Herbert leading the Chargers against the Bengals and the Eagles on the road against the Jets. Then, one of the hardest-hitting rivalries in football renewed when the Ravens head to Pittsburgh for a meeting with the Steelers. Today, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific with the NFL Today. About 20 minutes from now, it's the NFL doubleheader action on CBS. Now with your insider segment, welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We begin with Mark Ross. Now, he had a career before television in the front offices of the NFL, including more than a decade with the New York Giants, as well as the Eagles and Bills as well. And I was talking to him earlier this week on my show about Taysom Hill, as the New Orleans Saints have now promoted Taysom Hill to starting quarterback, trying to save their playoff chances. It was ugly for him on Thursday, as Taysom threw 4 picks, 3 in the fourth quarter, including a pick six that iced the game against the Cowboys. And I said, boy, Mark, from a front office standpoint, what does the rest of the league think about Taysom Hill, not just Sean Payton and the Saints? Here was Ross's thoughts.
Taysom Hill's a fun player in his role as the gadget guy, and you know, they kind of overpaid for those services. They thought they could develop him, I guess. But, you know, you were talking about at the time a 28, 29-year-old player who's never proven that he could be a full-time quarterback. And there's no other team that looks at Taysom Hill and sees him as a viable backup, let alone a starter or someone that's going to develop. And just because it was Sean Payton at the time saying this, that he got the best. Oh, you know what? Well, Sean Payton's so great and he's a genius that, you know what? Maybe he sees something. You know, he kind of got that benefit of the doubt, where if there was any other team that had Taysom Hill during this development, they would be looked at as insane. But because it is Sean Payton and he's so revered, you still got that little, all right, well, maybe. But now every time you trot the guy out and you see what he's doing, and despite the toughness and all, it's just not there.
It is honestly one of the most perplexing storylines we have seen in a long time in the NFL, where one team so values one guy so much that they blow their own market out of the water. Taysom Hill just signed a new deal, 4 years at $40 million, in age 32, 33, 34, and 35 seasons. He will make $40 million bucks over the next 4 years after this season. And if he ends up being a starting quarterback, he earns even more, up to $90 million. Now, again, he's already into his early 30s. So the idea that he's going to become something that he's not already seems really hard to believe. But also that the Saints are bidding against themselves. Mark Ross spent more than a decade in NFL front offices and says nobody else in the league even views Taysom Hill as a viable backup. So you're signing a gadget player for $10 million a year when he's already in his 30s? Doesn't that seem peculiar at best, confounding? I mean, if you're looking for gadget players, there's guys that come out of college every single year that can do these things that you get to pay dirt cheap money to. But instead, they're locked up $40 million at minimum while the guy ages into his mid-30s? Again, I think Mark Ross is right. If it wasn't Sean Payton, we would all go, what the heck is this guy thinking? But because it's Sean Payton, he must see something. I don't get it. And now we have a little over a month to see what Taysom Hill is in a crucial spot with the team's playoff chances on the line when it's just him and not backing up Drew Brees. And granted, they have injuries and they've got issues with the offensive line. But boy, it fails to make sense how much faith financially the Saints keep putting into a guy who's little more than a role player. Joshua Perry was a member of the Ohio State Buckeyes when they won a national championship a couple of years ago. He's now a contributor to the Big Ten Network. We had him on the show earlier this week, and I asked him about Brian Kelly leaving for the LSU job and what it told him that it looked like Notre Dame was going to promote Marcus Freeman from defensive coordinator, and that Freeman's assistant coaches, fellow assistant coaches, were all staying at Notre Dame instead of going to Baton Rouge with Kelly. Here was Perry's thoughts.
These are the people that know him best. These are the people that work with him every day, and they would rather stay with an unproven first-time head coach who's, you know, 35 or 36 years old than the 60-year-old head coach who's proven that he can compete for national titles, hasn't won it, who's proven that he can build a program, who's won 10-plus games a season. Like, that is the ultimate coup, in my opinion. And Brian Kelly is a guy who I think folks understand is extremely hard to work with. I think that he is somebody who's been abrasive at times, and people realize that. But it's not even like the current guys on his staff. Tony Alford, who's a running back coach at Ohio State, was offered a job at LSU with Brian Kelly, and they worked together at Notre Dame, I think, in, you know, maybe 2012 through 2014 or whatever the case was there. He said no. And that was probably going to be a pay raise and maybe a little bit more control and offensive flavor for Tony Alford. And he doesn't want to do that. And I think the way that everything went down and how public it was to everybody except for, you know, the people that it mattered to most, the coaching staff and the players, they had to find out after everybody else did. I think that really bothered people.
Really interesting stuff from Joshua Perry, who, again, covers the Big Ten, played of the Big Ten, and also had a relationship with Marcus Freeman because Freeman was at Ohio State when Perry was a player there. Brian Kelly, according to reports, just went silent with his assistant coaches as well and players when he was deciding on taking the LSU gig. And one of his assistant coaches told a reporter, he saw reports on his phone about the news breaking as he was leaving a recruit's house. And he said, the news broke as soon as I walked out of the house, and now I look like a bleeping bleep hole. So Brian Kelly's exit included, his assistant coaches feeling burned, him telling his team to come to the facility the next morning at 7 a.m., and not opening it up for any questions, but just addressing them for a few minutes and then leaving. And now he's at LSU, and none of his assistant coaches are following. Now, it's possible Notre Dame wanted to block some of those assistant coaches, but there was also the story earlier this week of Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur, two NFL coaches right now, who was on his staff back in Central Michigan, who felt at least a little bit burned about having to shovel cars from snow in the driveway instead of coming inside the house for a Brian Kelly party. although Salah tried to downplay that earlier this week. Brian Kelly has always been known as an abrasive guy. I'm not sure if that's what's factoring into all of this, but it certainly is questionable that Brian Kelly heads to LSU without his army of assistant coaches at Notre Dame who decided, we're going to stay here and coach alongside a young, first-time, unproven head coach. It's certainly something. Now, what is it? Well, look, Brian Kelly hasn't been the most happy-go-lucky, embraceable, huggable type of coach. He's been red-faced at the sideline, undressing his players. He's been short and curt with the media. He has seemed to be a little above the fray, looking down on people. But what he is, at the very least that we know, is a Boston kid. This is a kid that grew up, this is a guy that grew up in the Boston area, in Everett and Chelsea, Massachusetts, and his dad was a Boston politician. So he is a Massachusetts guy through and through. But yet, when he landed in Baton Rouge this week, and he spoke to the crowd assembled at the LSU basketball game, you listen to this and you tell me, does this sound like a guy that was born and raised in Massachusetts? Let's play the clip.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started. And I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
There's a lot to take away from that, bad boy. Number one, my games. I haven't even won all my games yet. Well, that's quite the proclamation. And that it's his games, not his players' games, not the program's games, not the school's games. It's my games. Haven't even won all my games yet. Okay. I see you there, Brian Kelly. I see you there, Brian Kelly's ego. I would also say that from a guy that grew up in Boston, with a dad who's a Boston politician, and he spent time in Central Michigan, Cincinnati, and Notre Dame, South Bend, Indiana. It sure is interesting to suddenly hear him say, family,
family,
when he addresses that crowd. Sure is interesting, isn't it? Let me tell you, that's insulting. And I know that LSU fans are fired up. And they have every reason to want to be fired up and deserve to be fired up. They are one of the best passionate fan bases in America. They love their Tigers. And they're seeing a guy that has come close to a national championship at Notre Dame and feel like he could absolutely steer them to more glory years at LSU. But how insulting is it to take the microphone and fake a Southern accent, thinking that that's what they need to hear? That these bunch of goobers, as long as I put on a Southern accent, they're going to be eating out of the palm of my hands. Man, BK, they're smarter than that. And they're going to eat you up the first time you get beat by Auburn or Alabama or Texas A&M. Faking a Southern accent now when everybody already is fired up about your hire, that's cheap. That's low-hanging fruit. And I got to tell you, I got a bad feeling about this with Brian Kelly in Baton Rouge. My family! That'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Connor Green, executive producer. Thanks to Anthony Pierno on the Wheels of Steel. And thanks to Kevin Dexter on your headlines. Good day of football straight ahead. I will see you tomorrow morning on the DA Show, beginning at 6 a.m. Eastern Time right here on CBS Sports Radio. Enjoy your Sunday of football, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.